This is the tax update for the week beginning 8th October, and HMRC have published guidance on how to deal with a bereavement. The guidance is generally designed for members of the public, so it's easy to read and deals with income tax, inheritance tax, probate, obtaining confirmation, child benefit and tax credits, and will also assist a surviving spouse or civil partner. It starts with a questionnaire that has 9 questions to which you answer yes or no, and then the answers are provided tailored to the inquirer's needs. As usual, this podcast is accompanied by detailed notes and a link, and it's an interesting development. There's been a court case this year before the First Tier Tribunal on the partial exemption method for input VAT recovery based on floor space, and it's an interesting read. It's about Lock and Store Group PLC, a company which supplies taxable self-storage, and you'll be aware that the government has introduced new legislation ensuring that such self-storage facilities are standard rated, but this company did operate as a standard rated supplier of services of storage. And it had other income like van hire, but the one that was causing the problem was it insisted upon goods held in storage being covered by insurance, and where the person requiring storage didn't have insurance, the company would sell it, but it was a tiny proportion of its income. And HMRC insisted that they look at the standard method, which gave about 94 to 96% VAT recovery, whereas the company said that the vast majority of its premises was devoted to storage, and any insurance sales were conducted in the very small reception area and only really constituted a small percentage of the company's total business. And the First Tier Tribunal decided that floor space was the correct and fairest method and more reasonable in its attribution of what input tax could be recovered from the residual pool than the method being used by HMRC. As a result, the company got 99.98% recovery, and HMRC had to vacate an assessment in excess of $140,000. The Public Accounts Committee criticised the use of personal service companies, expressing shock that the BBC should have 25,000 off-payroll contracts, and dismay that the civil service had over 2,400 people of a salary paid at 58,000 or more using a personal service company. And it seems that the environment is changing. Public opinion is more critical of attempts to minimise national insurance contributions or planning to minimise tax. And personal service companies, which can be used for very legitimate personal and indeed commercial reasons, seem to be the focus of politicians' attack. Now, I feel sorry for HMRC because they try and use the IR35 legislation, which is very bad legislation, should never have been enacted, and once it was clear that it wasn't working and it failed completely, it should have been repealed. But we still have it, even though its yield is less than 1% of the target that it was supposed to achieve. Again, the notes detail the comments of the Public Accounts Committee, but this is political rhetoric, and the reality is that there's far too much of a differential that distorts how people conduct business, and there shouldn't be any difference as to whether you conduct it as an employee, sole trader, or using a personal service company, limited company vehicle. There should be a level playing field, and there isn't. So we've got a badly designed system. But whilst I usually feel distaste when looking at the majority of MPs, and especially any MP who has been guilty of overclaiming on their expenses, I have to agree on this rare occasion with what Margaret Hodge, the chair of the Public Accounts Committee, said, that people in the public sector should not be attempting to avoid tax. What I would say is there's nothing wrong with using a personal service company if that is for a commercial and justifiable reason. But to listeners, I would give a warning. Proceed with caution and make sure that the contract is an accurate reflection of the arrangements which are in place. And just to conclude, HMRC have announced that they're extending the single compliance trial, which allows an inquiry to be conducted by HMRC at four different levels, the higher levels demanding more resource and time from HMRC. The extension of the trial doesn't mean it's not succeeding. I think probably the opposite applies, and the single compliance process is demonstrating it's a sensible and more efficient way for HMRC to check compliance. Thanks very much for listening.